Title of this morning's message is, I Am Significant. Today's message is kind of a follow-up to last week's sermon when I talked about God's calling in your life. We saw last week that God prepares us for the things that He calls us to. He places a calling within us, and He empowers us to fulfill that calling in His time. So this morning, I want to re-emphasize that this thing about calling is for every child of God. We are all significant to God and to what God is doing. So you got a little sticker this morning when you came in. VIP, very important person. You are significant. A very important person. Significant means to have meaning. That's the first definition of significant, to have meaning. We have meaning because God loves us. That's why I'm important. That's why I find meaning in life. It's through God's love. It's through Christ. Significant also means having or likely to have considerable influence or effect. How many of you like to have influence and effect in your world? Okay, Lois, thank you for being honest. We all do. I mean, you might be thinking, oh, no, I don't like to boss people around. But we all like to have influence and effect in the things that we're involved in. Usually we kind of like to do that because we'd like to be able to make things go the way that we want them to go, the way that we're pleased with. So significant, to be significant means to have or to be likely to have considerable influence or effect. In Christ, you are significant. You are a person who is likely to have effect and influence in the world because you are in Christ. What's that look like? What does it look like to be a VIP in Christ? What are the benefits? Now, there were two guys that Jesus hung around with on earth who wanted to be VIPs. You might remember two of his disciples, James and John. They asked Jesus a question one day, or they asked him if he would do something for them because they wanted to be VIPs in the kingdom. So they came to Jesus and they said, could you promise us that when you come into your kingdom, that we'll be on your right hand and your left hand? Rulers with you, Jesus. When they asked that, Jesus asked them if they were ready to go through everything that he would go through. And of course they said, yes, we would. We'll do it. We can do it. The other disciples, when they got word of what James and John had asked for, they got a little bit miffed and upset. Kind of like, who are you that you can go and ask to be at the right and the left hand, trying to get ahead of us, are you? And so after that little altercation, Jesus had to sit all 12 of them down. And he had to explain to them, he said, you know, in the world, this is what VIP means. VIP means that you lord it over everybody else. He says, we know that's what the leaders of the Gentiles do. They lord it over everybody else. But he said, that's not the way it is in my kingdom. In my kingdom, the first will be last, and the last will be first. And you are called to be servants. That's what a VIP is in my kingdom. A servant. So a VIP in Christ equals servant. That's not even in your outline this morning, so maybe you better just pencil it in there if you're following with the outline. VIP in Christ equals servant. That's the first thing that we should know. So as you're here as a VIP this morning, which all of you are, there will be some benefits. But first, we're going to look at maybe what we call a responsibility. What's it mean to be a VIP? So you can turn with me to Matthew 5, verse 13. Because Jesus tells us, you are going to be salt and light. It's a way he explained what it means to be a VIP in the kingdom. He says, you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It's no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and to be trampled by men. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, you put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. Jesus is kind of saying, as a VIP, as one who is significant, you have a mission in this world. You have a purpose. You have something you're to do. He says it here by saying, you're salt and light. You know, I like to be able to walk around at an event or something with some kind of purpose, with a job to do. That's what Jesus is saying here. You have a job to do. You have something to do in this world. As VIPs, we're kind of special agents in this world. I happen to have Steve Roth in my message this morning. Didn't know he was going to be here. He's here somewhere. Or he was. I saw him. In the nursery. Okay. Well, what I wanted to say is that at Kingdom Bound, Steve at least used to be a VIP. He had this badge, and he got to drive around in a golf cart. And I'd go to Kingdom Bound, and I didn't get any badge, and I didn't get any golf cart. Wasn't a VIP, I guess. I didn't have a job to do when I went there, but Steve did. His job was to get people to the stage on time for their performances. So he got something special. He had a job to do. He was a VIP. It's because he had a special mission. That's what Jesus is saying here. You have a special mission as salt and light in the world. Now, what's that mean? If you're going to have a special mission, what does that mean? First of all, if we look at what salt and light is like, it means that you have to be engaged with the world. You've got to be out there. You know, salt comes in tiny little grains, or at least the salt on my table does. Comes in tiny little grains. One grain of salt doesn't do a whole lot to preserve and spice up the food. But many grains together have a great effect. And it has to start out with each individual grain of sand. So each individual grain is significant to do the job of preservation or seasoning that you want to do with your food. And of course, the seasoning only works well when what? It's spread out in the food. Can you imagine baking a loaf of bread that takes a teaspoon of salt and it all being in one place in the bread? The rest of the bread would be rather flat tasting, and when you got to that one teaspoon of salt, it wouldn't be very good. It's got to be spread out. We're to be engaged in the world around us. Becky Pippert wrote a book quite a few years ago about outreach and about evangelism. The name of her book was Out of the Salt Shaker and Into the World. That was the idea. We have to be engaged. Haddon Robinson says that when the church becomes a salt warehouse, we've missed Jesus' lesson about being salt. So we got a lot of salt gathered around here today, this morning, since we are the salt of the world. But we can't just stay here. We're to be engaged with the world. Light also must be engaged with the dark world. A flashlight during the day doesn't really look very bright, does it? But when you take it out at night, when it's dark, very clear. It's a bright light. Requires engagement. The other thing here is that if we have a mission, we must be distinctive. Salt and light is distinctive from that which is around it. Jesus says, what good is saltless salt? Salt without flavor. What do you do with it? Salt it? It's kind of ridiculous, isn't it? Saltless salt is a ridiculous idea. So is a non-distinctive Christian. It's ridiculous. It's unimaginable. A Christian who looks no different than the world around him or around her? That's a crazy idea. It's like salt without flavor. Now, salt in the ancient world was often gathered from salt marshes. So it wasn't pure. It contained other compounds, other minerals usually with it. So the salt, actually being soluble in water, in other words, water can dissolve it. Sometimes, maybe from dampness or from water, the salt could actually kind of get washed out from the other minerals. That's how you could end up with salt that didn't have any flavor. The other minerals were kind of left there and the salt got washed out of it. What good was that? Well, Jesus said it's no good for anything anymore. It's thrown out on the path, or it hardens the ground. If it's minerals, it tends to harden the ground. So it's just put out on the path to harden things. We're to be distinctive. We have to be different. Otherwise, we're good for nothing. It actually makes me think a little bit about the parable of the soils, you know, the good soil, and some of it was hardened. It makes me wonder if we become non-distinctive, whether maybe we're part of the problem in the hardening of the earth sometimes, the hardening of people's hearts. We have to be distinctive. We're to be different. So we're talking about this quality of salt, where it gives flavor and where it preserves. If you are in Christ, then you are significant, and how you live is significant. God has a call in your life, and to say otherwise is like talking about saltless salt. It's foolish. A light in the dark is certainly distinctive. It shines. Everyone will know about it. Jesus says a city on a hill can't be hidden. Everybody will see it at night when the lights come on. As light in the darkness, we're to help people see God. Help them come to God. Jesus says the result of letting our light shine is that God will be praised. In other words, we're to let God live through us, to answer people's prayers, and to light the way to God. We let God live through us in that way. Notice here that our significance arises out of our relationship with God. He says that they may praise your Father in heaven. That's why we're significant, because we're God's children. That's what makes you significant. That's what makes you light and salt. It doesn't shine because of our own external righteousness, but because of our awareness and our need for walking in God's grace. That's really where that light shines from. When people see that, they'll see how it's changed our lives, and then they'll see the good deeds that take place. But they'll be able to see that it comes out of God's grace in our lives, not because we're so good in ourselves. So we're intended to spice up the world. We're to preserve some semblance of life, of God's life here, God's goodness, the kingdom on earth. You are the light of the world. It is you. There's no other light. You're it. You can't be hidden any more than a city on a hill can be hidden. Light is not intended to be hidden. It's foolishness to think that it could be. Now, just before this, Jesus talked about the fact that we're blessed when we're persecuted. It's that distinctiveness that brings about the persecution. One commentary says the distinctiveness which makes us the object of persecution is now illustrated as salt and light. Both are essential, and they have a necessary effect on the environment if they're both distinctive, if they're both fully involved. So disciples must function in society as an alternative and challenging the community. It's by our visible goodness that we bring glory to God who has made us, who has called us. There's another scripture which talks about this mission in a little different way. I'd like to read that to you yet this morning here. 2 Corinthians 5:16. So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and then gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, very important persons, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. We have a mission in the world. We're to be out in the world. We're to be distinctive. So God has given us a mission. As a church, we have something on our bulletin each Sunday, which says that our mission is to encourage one another and others to live in a growing relationship with Jesus Christ. God's chosen us to do that, to encourage others, to serve others. There's no other plan for it that God has except through his people. We're salt and we're light. The question this morning is, in what ways and with whom has God called you to be salt and light? God has a mission for you. What is it? Where has he called you to serve? Where has he called you to have influence and to have effect? Sometimes I think we make the mistake of thinking we don't really matter that much. And in fact, we do. You are significant, and God has a significant mission for you. Now, there are some benefits, as we're called as VIPs. One that I want to look at comes from Ephesians 3:12. This is what it says in 3:12 of Ephesians. It says, in him and through faith in him, that's Christ, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. Now, the context here is that Paul was talking about his calling as an apostle. He was talking about his mission and the same mission that he was explaining that the Ephesians have as well. And as he wraps that up, he says, in him and through faith in him, we may approach God with freedom and with confidence. We have free access to God. That is one of the benefits of being a VIP in the kingdom, of being significant. You know, it's kind of like being sent by the President of the United States to accomplish a mission. It's a very important mission. And so you have free access to the President. You may come in with him, you may discuss strategy with him. In fact, he cares about the mission even more than you do. And he'll call you in to discuss strategy. You can let him know what your needs are. He has the needed resources at his fingertips. And he also has a broader overall view and perspective than you do. If you were sent by the President of the United States on a mission, that would be true. It's even more true of God. You have free access to God. Do you ever forget that? As you consider your mission, as you consider who you're called to be, do you ever forget, I can go right into God? As a matter of fact, I think I need to go into God. We may need to discuss strategy. God may have some instruction for me. God understands the overall perspective so much better than I do. I think sometimes we forget. We have that access to the ruler of the universe, to the God of heaven and earth. So we need to be reminded often, freely and confidently, come before God to commune with Him. For simple, specific requests, for day-to-day instructions. We're all VIPs, after all. Step into His office. Spend time with Him. Philippians 4, also written by Paul, tell us something about being a VIP. I want to start reading from verse 10 of Philippians 4. Paul says, I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you've renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you have been concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. I'm not saying this because I'm in need, for I've learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I've learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want, I can do everything through Him who gives me strength. Now that's the key verse that I wanted us to zero in on this morning. I can do everything through Him who gives me strength. What's that mean? Everything that He calls us to. As He gives us this mission of being salt and light, I can do it. You can do it. You are well supplied. Paul had learned to be content both in plenty and in need. Sometimes it didn't look like there was much there. Sometimes it looked like there was more than he needed. Do you experience that in life? Sometimes we think we have what we need, and sometimes it doesn't seem like we do. Paul said, I've learned to be content. He says, I've learned the secret of being content. Now, I think that means that being content is the secret, not that there's some secret that you need to figure out in order to be content. But rather, the secret is being content, trusting that God knows our needs, that God will supply as we need it. That's where Paul was saying he was at. He was trusting God. He was content. He believed that through Christ, God provided all that he needed to carry out his mission. Our mission is always going to encounter problems, even what may sometimes appear to be catastrophe. I was impressed with a man named David Ring. Maybe you've heard him before. He has cerebral palsy. When he speaks, he says, I have cerebral palsy. What's your problem? Only he doesn't speak as clearly as I do. It's kind of unclear. And his face tends to contort, and he walks around sort of a little bit with a limp and stooped. And I saw a message, I actually watched it yesterday. A message about letting your song out, about singing, as he told about how his mother died when he was 14 years old. And she was like his mainstay, the one who loved him and hugged him and helped him whenever he had been made fun of and that sort of thing. And how agonizing it was when his mother died when he was 14 years old. But David began listening to gospel songs. And as he did that, he began to sing along with them. And after a few years, he came to Christ. He gave his life to Christ. And in that whole experience, David became significant. And David was given a mission. And eventually he became an evangelist, a preacher who goes around to different places and he preaches, even though he's hard to understand. He's able to preach. Well, in this message, he told the story about how about 10 years after he'd been doing this, he went to a very small Baptist church. And as he went to this small Baptist church, his girlfriend was with him. And he told her, he said, "I want to do something to shock the people this morning." And she's like, "What are you going to do?" And he said, "I'm going to sing." He evidently felt that he should sing. And so at the end of his message that day, he had the organist play very slowly for him, and he began to sing a song. And as he sang the song, people's hearts opened up, and they came forward to the altar. And ever after that, David would sing a song when he preached. He says, "I can't carry a tune. I'm not clear in what I say." And it sounded like he had some argument with God, you know. "Now we're going to a very large church with a couple thousand people. I'm not going to sing, God." "Yes, you are," God told him. And he sang. And eventually one day, he got a call from, the last name's escaping me now, Bill Gaither, thank you, from Bill Gaither. "Would you come and sing?" They'd never met before, but they were having a big conference, thousands of people. And he wanted him to, he didn't ask him to come and preach. He just said, "Come and sing." And God used him. He used him that way. And David Ring says, "God used me to sing a song." He can use you. You are salt and light. You are significant. How you live your life is significant. It's not that you should be or that you could be. You are. So as you embrace your call to be salt and to light, you have the privilege to come freely before God, the King of the universe. You can be confident as you come to Him. You can know that you'll be fully supplied and strengthened. You are salt. You're light. You're significant. Don't forget that sticker that you have this morning. Maybe you want to wear it all week. Hadn't thought of that till just now. Somebody might ask you a question about it. You're a VIP in Christ. Don't forget what that means. Please stand. One who is significant is likely to have effect and influence. There's people around you that this week, as you go out and engage in the world, will be affected. They will be influenced by you. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you that you have made us significant. We are significant. We have meaning because of you, because of your love for us. But as ones who are significant, we will influence and affect those around us. And that's the way you designed it, Lord. That's what you want us to do. You've called us to be salt and light. And so this week, Lord, I ask that you would remind us as we are engaged in our jobs, in our homes, in the marketplace, in our neighborhoods, as we're sprinkled out of the salt shaker, Lord. Father, we want to be salt. And so, Lord, I ask that you would remind us that you supply all that we need. As Paul said, you strengthen us in order to do anything that you call us to do. We are strengthened in you to do that. And so I ask that you would give us opportunity to be salt and light this week, Lord. Empower us. In Jesus' name, amen.